Hello, all you freedom-loving people. Welcome to another episode of Front Page. I'm your host, Scott Cameron-Goulet. The GOP's only black U.S. Senator, Tim Scott, has formally announced his bid for president. His campaign slogan is Faith in America. President Trump welcomed Scott's entry into the race, but Elon Musk was more subtle about his support for Tim Scott. After Biden and McCarthy met on Monday, the debt ceiling talks moved in a fairly positive direction, but both men are now facing the challenge of reaching a consensus without angering hardliners in both parties. Regarding the FBI's weaponized practices that were revealed in Durham's report, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan said that he would not let go of anyone that was mentioned in the report, and Jordan might even reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. Meta received a notice of an astronomical fine from the EU. The technology giant said that the penalty was unreasonable and that they would appeal. Okay, let's get into it. Senator Tim Scott, who is the only African-American Republican in the Senate, officially announced on Monday his candidacy for the President of the United States, kicking off his 2024 presidential campaign. Scott spoke to supporters in his hometown of North Charleston, South Carolina, on May the 22nd. He highlighted his rise from a poor child who was raised by a single mother to a senator, as proof that America is still a country of opportunity. He emphasized the progress that the United States has made on racial issues in recent decades. He said that the United States is not a racist country. This has been his consistent position. He criticized the Democratic Party for trying to foment racial division for partisan gain. Scott said Joe Biden and the Democrats are attacking every rung of the ladder that helped me climb, and that's why I'm running for the President of the United States. According to a Reuters Ipsos poll, Scott's approval rating among registered Republicans is still currently low at 1%, but Scott has received a lot of support from campaign finance donors and other members of Congress. His campaign kickoff was attended by John Thune, the number two Republican in the Senate, and by Larry Ellison, the co-founder of Oracle, who is a major supporter, Glenn McCall, who is a Republican national committeeman, also endorsed Scott's presidential campaign. Scott said on Sunday that since he announced his candidacy, his support in the polls will begin to improve. Scott told Fox News, after the announcement, I think the polls will start to change. I think there's an enthusiasm that will continue to spread throughout the country. Scott is also popular in South Carolina, which is the third state in the country to hold a campaign for the Republican nomination of a presidential candidate. Many of the voters who attended Scott's campaign announcement said that they support Scott because of his Christian values, his personal story, and his optimistic attitude. One attendee called Scott a good Christian man doing things that should be done right. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley also announced her candidacy in February, so Scott will have to go head-to-head with Nikki Haley. When asked about their thoughts on Haley, many attendees said that they think that she can be wishy-washy on issues. Regarding Scott, they said that he is more consistent in his conservative positions. There were also attendees who suggested that they hope Scott became vice president rather than president. President Trump on Monday welcomed Senator Tim Scott to the 2024 Republican presidential primary. President Trump wrote on True Social, "Good luck to Senator Tim Scott in entering the Republican presidential primary race. I got opportunity zones done with Tim, a big deal that has been highly successful. Good luck, Tim." Scott described himself as the most feared candidate by the far left. In his speech, Scott said, "This is the freest and fairest land where you and I can go as high as our character, our grit, and our talent will take us. I bear witness to that. I testify to that. That's why I'm the candidate that the far left fears the most." Scott blasted the Biden administration's economic policies for ruining the lives of ordinary families. He said this administration has taxed, borrowed, and spent trillions of dollars trying to replace a hand up with handouts. All they brought us was crushing inflation that has devastated families like mine. But he denied that the U.S. is in decline. He said that it's only the Democrats that have set the country under retreat. America is not a nation in decline, but under Joe Biden, we have become a nation in retreat. Scott also said, retreating from our heritage and our history, retreating from personal responsibility and hard work, retreating from strength and security, even retreating from religious liberty and the worship of God himself. Elon Musk also retweeted a video of Scott's speech on Monday. However, Musk did not formally endorse Scott. On Monday, Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy held talks on raising the government's $31.4 trillion debt ceiling. Although both sides said that the talks were productive, no agreement was reached, so they will continue to negotiate. After more than an hour of talks on Monday, McCarthy described the meeting in positive terms. McCarthy said, "I think the tone tonight was better than any other time we've had discussions. We still have some philosophical differences, but I felt it was productive, and I think we were able to really focus on the areas of differences." Biden also said that the talks were productive, and Biden tried to assure us that a default is not a possibility. Biden said in a statement, "We reiterated once again that default is off the table, and the only way to move forward is in good faith toward a bipartisan agreement." Biden's statement also claimed that while there are areas of disagreement, our staffs will continue to discuss the path forward. McCarthy told reporters that negotiators would get together and work through the night in order to try and find common ground, but McCarthy is reluctant to consider Biden's plan to cut the deficit by raising taxes on the wealthy and by closing tax loopholes in the oil and drug industries. Biden only wants to reduce spending in the 2024 federal budget. Republicans want to cut discretionary spending. They want to impose applicant work requirements on some programs that are targeting low-income people. And they want to roll back COVID-19 aid that Congress approved but has not yet spent in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. Democrats want to stabilize spending at 2023 levels in 2024. Meanwhile, Republicans want to return to 2022 levels, and they want to limit spending growth in future years. A bill passed by the House last month plans to cut massive government spending by 8% in 2024. Biden is seeking re-election, and he has made the economy the centerpiece of his domestic agenda. He has said that he would consider cutting spending while adjusting taxes. Therefore, Biden finds the latest Republican proposal unacceptable. Biden has said that he would not support spending cuts to Medicare and to food stamps at the same time protecting tax breaks for the wealthy, for fossil fuels, and for the pharmaceutical industry. In the end, both sides will have to weigh any concessions under pressure from hardliners in their respective parties. Before we move on to the House Judiciary Committee that might defund the FBI and might reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton, and to the record $1.3 billion fine that Mark Zuckerberg has to pay the EU, please like this video and share it with your friends and family. And please remember that every like, comment, and share helps more people to see the truth. If you haven't already, please subscribe. And if you have already subscribed, we thank you. But please double check to make sure that you are still subscribed, because some audience members have reported that they're somehow unsubscribed without their knowledge. Okay, let's get back into it. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan announced on Sunday that the committee will closely examine the individuals who were named in the recently released Durham report. Jim Jordan told Fox News host Maria Bartiromo, "The Durham report comes out and tells us that the FBI had no probable cause, no predicate, no evidence whatsoever, and yet they launch into an investigation of President Trump and his campaign. I think the Durham report's best line was, failed in their fundamental mission of fidelity to the law. They didn't follow the law." Jim Jordan stressed that nothing is off the table when it comes to potential investigations. In fact, are there people that were highlighted in the Durham investigation and the Durham report that we need to talk to on the Judiciary Committee? We're going to give that a good hard look, but nothing is off the table. Jordan even threatened to cut FBI funding and to reopen investigations related to Hillary Clinton and others. Jordan replied to the question of how to fix the FBI's abuse of authority by saying, what we're going to have to do is say, hey, FBI, you can't use federal tax dollars. You can't use the American tax dollars for this kind of activity. We've got to limit how they spend the money, maybe even limit them. According to FOIA documents that were obtained by the New York Times, the Justice Department shut down their investigation into the Clinton Foundation in August of 2021, and then the FBI returned or destroyed all of the evidence. For nearly all of President Trump's time in the White House, the DOJ pretended to investigate the Clinton Foundation's relationships with foreign donors to no avail. And this is after Hillary Clinton was the head of the Department of State during Obama's presidency. According to emails that were obtained by Judicial Watch, Hillary Clinton gave preferential treatment to Clinton Foundation donors while she was Secretary of State. Some people believe that Hillary Clinton conducted official business on her non-government server so she could hide her Clinton Foundation pay-to-play while she was head of the Department of State. Even the New York Times reported in August of 2021, the FBI received what is known as a declination memo from prosecutors, and as a result, they considered the matter closed. And according to the FBI, all of the evidence obtained during the course of this investigation has been returned or otherwise destroyed. Regarding the four investigations into Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation that the FBI dropped, Jordan said, we're going to talk with our lawyers. We're going to talk with Speaker McCarthy on where we proceed from here. Special Counsel John Durham's final report that was released last week revealed that back in late July of 2016, the intelligence community received intelligence that Hillary Clinton planned to vilify Donald Trump by linking him to Russia in order to distract people from Hillary's private server woes. According to Durham's report, then CIA Director John Brennan briefed President Obama and then Vice President Joe Biden, among others, at the White House just days after receiving the intelligence report. The next morning, on July 29th, 2016, Brennan briefed then FBI Director James Comey on the White House meeting. And then after he spoke with Comey and then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, Brennan and other CIA officials attempted to limit the dissemination of intelligence about the investigation into the Clinton Project. And then those same former top intelligence officials then went on to concoct another Russia-blaming scheme in order to help Joe Biden during the 2020 presidential election. Brennan and Clapper in 2019 claimed that the New York Post's explosive Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Facebook's parent company Meta has been fined a record 1.2 billion euros, about $1.3 billion, by European regulators for transferring data from Facebook users in the European Union to US servers. The fine was announced by the European Data Protection Board on Monday. The Irish Data Protection Board is the primary regulatory body that is responsible for overseeing Meta's business in Europe. The fine follows a series of investigations into Facebook by the Irish Data Protection Board. Andrea Jelinek, the chair of the European Data Protection Board, said that Meta's infringement was very serious since it concerns transfers that are systematic, repetitive, and continuous. The fine is the highest ever imposed since the General Data Protection Regulation, which is Europe's data privacy law, came into force. Meta was also ordered to stop processing personal data of European users in the U.S. for 6 months. Jelinek said in a statement, Facebook has millions of users in Europe, so the volume of personal data transferred is massive. The unprecedented fine is a strong signal to organizations that serious infringements have far-reaching consequences. Meta says that the problem stems from a legal conflict between U.S. data access rules and the privacy rights of Europeans. Meta will appeal the ruling, including the fine, and there will be no immediate disruption to Facebook's business in Europe. Meta said in a statement, without the ability to transfer data across borders, the internet risks being carved up into national and regional silos, restricting the global economy and leaving citizens in different countries unable to access many of the shared services that we have come to rely on. Meta Global President Nick Clegg and Jennifer Newsted, the company's chief legal officer, said that the decision is flawed, unreasonable, and it sets a dangerous precedent for countless other companies that are transferring data between the EU and the US. Okay, that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for your support of Front Page. Please remember that every like, comment, and share helps more people to see the truth. And just before we go, I want to remind you all about a new political action committee that was formed to convince Tucker Carlson to join the 2024 presidential race. But will he join, and how did he react to it? We went through this in details on our last video, so if you've not watched our previous episode, please click the link in the screen. Okay, this is our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you heard today, please don't forget to like this video and share it with your friends and family, because everybody deserves to know the truth. Again, thank you for watching Front Page, and we will see you next time.